Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
It seems like when we pray, God seems to say no. 9 times out of 10, in fact, sometimes you say, well, I pray, but it doesn't seem to do any good. And 9 times out of 10, he says no. And the other people will say, well, you know, God answers all my prayers. Say, what's he say? He says, no. But Jesus had more to say about prayer than he had to say about preaching. Is it that he doesn't hear me or something like that? If Betty were here, Betty's my wife, and we've been married for guess how long? 52 years. 52 years. I met her when I was 17, and we married when I was 19. Isn't that good? And I was mentioning, I think, to Kevin, that sometimes when I say what I just said, that we've been married for 52 years, there'll be a smattering of applause in the congregation. And so I say, no, don't clap until my funeral, because I promise till death do us part. And it's true, isn't it? It's a lifetime thing. And she's just a wonderful person. And I think if she was here this morning, she'd be sitting probably, Tony, where you're at, probably right there. And, of course, I'd be back here. Now, you fellas are not going to believe what I'm going to say next. Listen, fellas. 9 times out of 10, when I ask Betty for a favor, she says yes. I'm telling you the truth. 9 times out of 10, she says yes. Now, how can that be? That 9 times out of 10 she says yes, 9 times out of 10 when I pray, it seems that God says no. Who loves who the most? Is it she loves me more than God loves me? How does that work? Now, how long did I say we've been married? Thank you for remembering. By the way, our birthdays are on the same day, but we're not the same age, Dee Dee. One of us is 1 year older than the other. I can't tell you which. She gets mad. But you may want to note this. Our birthday is on September 16th. So you people who are into cards may want to take some note of that. So what's that? Just a little over a week. And there will be our various ages. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I was born in 1940. So, son, where were you in 1940? Isn't that awful? Yeah, but by the way, excuse me for saying this with all the people here, but I was checking your lab report before I came here. You're old age positive. You didn't get it, did you? We're all old age positive. It means we're infected. We're infected when we're born. We're all mortal, and we don't get out of this alive. And that's why I said last night, if the story of Jesus isn't true, that he was resurrected and gone to prepare a place for us, this was a bad deal. Because it doesn't have a happy ending. He said, I've got to prepare a place for you. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ. Some people say, well, I want to be alive when Jesus comes. Don't worry, you will be. In fact, those who are resurrected are the first to go. Isn't that nice? They're in the front of the line. See, in 52 years, I have a pretty good idea of what she's going to say when I ask her. And I'm not as dumb as I look. But if I know she's going to say no, what do I do? You don't ask, you'd have to be an idiot. You know, like I've got something to ask her, and she's going to say no, so I'm going to ask her anyway. What's the secret then to get Betty to say yes to my request? To know her, 52 years, you know. What would be the secret to have God say yes to our prayer? to know him. But here's where it seems to get a little bit complicated, because Betty's here, obviously, but I can't see God. Where is he? Listen, here we go. I told you that I'm going to talk about the secret of answered prayer, and it's true. Listen to it really close. Jesus tells us the secret to answered prayer. If you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew 6, last part. The disciples had been talking with Jesus, obviously, and we can guess what they were talking about by what he was saying. The disciples had been talking with Jesus about, you know, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, where to live. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, Jesus said the Heavenly Father knows you need that. But what should we pray for first? For the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Now you could say, Dick, what's that? What's the kingdom of heaven? Go over to Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God, we pray for food, for clothes, a place to live, which is fine. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God isn't what we pray about all the time. And that's why the punchline, if you can say, what's the secret of answered prayer? Get this now. It's praying to be and not to get. Did you get that? In other words, to pray to be kind and loving and patient. This is always gets yes. It always gets yes. You know, when you think about it, most of our prayers are about what Jesus said not to worry about. When we pray, when we're praying to get, when we're not praying to get, we're praying that God will change anything, everything, anybody and everybody, but who? But ourselves. You know, it's like a person would say, oh God, change my kids, they're driving me crazy. God, if you change my kids, I wouldn't scream at them so much. Or a man says, oh God, you got to do something about my wife. If you don't, I'll trade her in. And but listen, I'm going to tell you something. I have four children. Now, I don't know how to express this because it's going to sound worse than it is. But I've got a son-in-law. I hate to say I don't like him, but you know what I mean? It's, you know. And I've got a daughter-in-law. She's sweet as she can be, but she's a spiritual zero. I pray for them every day. Until one day, I realized that not they weren't the problem, but guess who was? It was me. How can I pray for these people every day and not like them? Are you hearing where I'm coming from? That's dumb. Who needs to be changed first? I need to be, in other words, I'm asking God, God, get into their lives, change them. But guess who the dummy is? How's God going to, I mean, he would want to use me, wouldn't he? I mean, at least I'm going to be, as we say, into the loop, and I don't like these people. But you see how we do? Pray for anybody and everybody, anything and everything, but the person who really needs it is me. But no, I'm praying that it'll stop raining and get warm around here. Are you with me on that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest falls into line. Does that make sense to you? And you know, if we'll do this, then we'll understand the text that says, all things work together for good to those who love God. But if it isn't seeking to be, then that text doesn't work. Because all things that happen to us are not good. But if I'm praying to be kind and loving and gentle and forgiving, I don't care what happens to me, I'm changing for the better. It is the way we've got it now is I pray that it won't rain, it rains, and that didn't do any good, I lost my corn. No, praying to be for patience. You know, sometimes we pray out of two sides of our mouth. On one side, Lord, help me to be patient. Other side, and Lord, help everybody to agree with me. But anyway, if you'll understand what I'm talking about, what is the secret of answered prayer? Come on. Praying to be kind, be loving, be patient, be considerate, be forgiving. It's been a number of years ago. I began to notice some trouble with my left arm. I couldn't move it. I mean, I could move it out here, but I couldn't get my wallet out of my pocket, which is one of the most fundamental savings things you can do. And the other thing is I couldn't get my belt on, but I don't have that trouble anymore. By the way, they say they're coming back. But they're very convenient. Because when you get to be thin, both in the back and the front, you need something to hold up the pants. And this will do it. Anyway, there I was, and I couldn't move my left arm. Couldn't put on my belt. Anyway, I was in camp meeting in Pennsylvania. My wife's not secretive, but I let it all hang out, man. Whatever's going on with me, I'll tell the world, because it gives me comfort. And so I was telling the people at the camp meeting that I couldn't get, that I was having a problem with my arm. And so after the service, a doctor came up to me and he said, Pastor Ophiel, put your arms out this way. And I did. Now he said, lift the left one. Couldn't. He said, you've got frozen shoulder. Adhesive capsulitis, have you heard about it? Apparently, you know, there's a ball and joint in there or something like, whatever it is. Anyway, little somethings grow down and grab it. So it's locked. Now, I'm not sure that they know what causes it. Anyway, I had to go to physical therapy. You know, they call that PT. You know what that is, don't you? Pain and torture. You ever been to one? You ever been to one? You've been to one, brother. Hang on, man. It hurts. The way she did it was cruel. I'd lay on this bed, and I'm telling you, just it hurts so bad, it bring me right up off the table. And it was brute force. She was Filipino, by the way, but she had such a sense of humor that she was laughing and everything, and it would make me laugh too. And to kind of mask the pain. I remember one day I learned something. I learned while I was laying on the table, if I would lift my right leg, it would throw her off balance. And it wouldn't hurt so much. And she caught me. And she said, you've got to cooperate with me or it won't work. And I thought in spiritual things, isn't that right? To cooperate with God or it doesn't work. Anyway, I remember when we got to that last part, it was going to be this arm, and she was going to bend it down. And I said to her, and I was sincere, I said, arms don't bend that way. She said, try the other one. They do bend that way. And she just went, and then, well, anyway, it worked. I don't know how long it was after that, but it was several years. I began to feel it in the other arm. I knew what it was coming on, and I thought I got to get ahead of this one. Now, I don't know what caused those frozen shoulders, except fellas, I was on the roof and there were some branches, some light branches that were kind of hanging out there, and I had some nippers. Nippers are about that long, and plus your arm is about that long. So I leaned out over the edge of the roof. Like this, which makes it quite a haul to cut those. And I think I did something. I don't know. That's all I can figure out. So anyway, there was that arm hurting, and you go to Google. Have you been to Google? Google can actually guess what you're going to ask it. Have you noticed that? If you can get the first word out. Really, have you seen that? I don't know how in the world that does that. You get two words, it'll guess your question. And so I typed in adhesive capsulitis, and it wasn't a pretty picture. I mean, it talked about it. In fact, it can mess you up for who knows how long. And I thought, oh, brother, it would wake me up at night hurting, just sheet of pain going down there. I've got it, and it looks like it's going to stay around. I'm going to pray. But how am I going to pray? Now, you might think I'm out of my mind. But I decided that if I've got to have that, I'm not going to pray for healing. Because I thought to myself, if God heals me from this, whatever this is, what about the poor person who's doing this? Am I better than this? Or what about the person who's doing this? Am I better? You understand what I'm saying? See, so I decided, and you may think I'm crazy, that instead of praying for healing, I would pray for compassion. To be able to notice, and God has answered my prayer, because when I see somebody in a wheelchair, I see him in a wheelchair now. And I saw him in a wheelchair before, but I didn't see him before. You understand what I'm saying? If I see a blind man now, I see the blind man. Before, they were always there, but I never thought anything about it. Now I do. And what is that? And this is no credit to me. I was praying to be. Now, another prayer I prayed too that went back to back with that one was, Lord, give me compassion. And then you promised that there'd be no trial that would happen to us, but that you'd give us the strength to bear it. I prayed for that. Pray to be, and then pray for strength. And then now I must confess at the end of the prayer, I could throw in that other thing, you know, about, hey, you know. But it wasn't the first thing. I've got something else that I carry all the time that's rather serious, more than rather serious. And I remember 3 years ago when that was diagnosed, I remember kneeling by my chair in the family room crying like a baby. This is for life, what I have now. And I prayed, oh God, give me the gift of compassion. And I want to practice what I preach, and I challenge you with it today. It's okay to pray for whatever, but pray to be first. It's always yes to pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember when I wrote the lesson quarterly for the fruit of the Spirit? Remember that? That was, what was that, last year, January, February? You know, we talk about being like Jesus. When I prepared for that lesson quarterly, I understood, what is being like Jesus? It's to have the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it's like. You know, certain people are talking about the gifts of the Spirit. My dad used to say, don't even talk about the gifts of the Spirit until you've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. You can fake the gifts of the Spirit or get them on the black market, but you can't fake the fruit of the Spirit. You can't fake being patient and kind and forgiving. You can't. It's got to be something done by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gets into us when we open our hearts to Him in prayer. Did you catch on to that, Tony? Praying to be. Jesus said, just seek it first. It's okay to pray that it'll rain for the corn, but seek first the kingdom of God. Hey, listen, the Christian life is about how you treat your wife. It's about how you treat your husband. It's about how you treat the kids. I may mention it more today, but I want to tell you, and I want to tell you this, the devil is destroying our home. We pray about our cars all the time. I got a I got a couple of cars, a Buick. And by the way, look in a Buick and see who drives. They're my age. A young person your age, Tony, they never drive Buicks. At least not in Florida. The old people drive the Buick. But I've gotten in a little trouble with that Buick now. I spent $1,200 last month trying to keep it going. I should have junked it. But anyway, we pray that our car, there'll be no problem with our car. We do that, but what about the problem we have with each other? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and see what happens.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.